Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 397. Isabel can smash. I'm Savrin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm back.
He is. Yay, Shiva, you made it back from Colorado.
Shiva's back. Back again. From Colorado. Smoke with a friend.
Yeah. welcome back, Shiva. It has been a couple weeks, but hopefully you enjoyed your adventure.
I did. It was a very good trip.
Yeah. You got to see lots of pretty trees and lakes and all that fun stuff.
Not so much lakes, but lots and lots and lots of mountains and trees and rocks and fun stuff. So, two Thursdays ago...
There were plants and birds and rocks and things.
Yeah. So, two Thursdays ago, we were planning on leaving the next day, and we got home, we packed up, and we kind of looked at each other and says, we're kind of ready now. Do we want to get some miles in tonight? And I had originally asked Sarah this, like, weeks ago. And he's like, nah, we'll just do it all on Friday. Well, we're all ready, and he changes his mind. So, okay.
You took off.
So we took off. So we left about 9 o'clock on Thursday. We stopped in Amarillo, which is about a six-hour drive.
It's very flat there.
It's very flat. But we drove in the dark, so I didn't appreciate exactly how flat it is on the way out. I got to appreciate this on the way back. Oh my god, it's boring. So we're driving, and we start to flag like about an hour out from Amarillo. It's like, oh god. Yeah, we're starting.
It's like 3 a.m. if it's 6 hours away, right?
Yeah. We had problems finding a hotel because apparently there was a large quarter horse convention in town. Because also, apparently, and I was not aware of this.
Why don't they bring the whole horse?
They only bring the important parts.
Apparently, Amarillo has, like, something to do with quarter horses. They've got, like, the Quarter Horse Hall of Fame. So, over Labor Day weekend, they had a huge, like, so much of the hotels were full. We had a hard time finding a place to sleep that night.
Yeah.
We eventually did. Crashed out, slept, and then got, like, 6 hours of sleep. Got up probably about 8 o'clock the next morning and took off. And it's another 6 hours from Amarillo to Denver. First leg of the trip, we drove up to Denver. I had got a very nice hotel room, which I pretty much just looked on Expedia for good rates and good reviews. And I kind of looked for someplace in the area. It was over in Aurora side of Denver, which after we got there, everything we wanted to do was on the other side of Denver. Oh, well. Denver was interesting. Every time we went downtown, we lost cell signal, which means if we Ubered because we went to a brewery or something, getting out of downtown was incredibly difficult because we had to kind of fudge around until we could snag a Wi-Fi, a free Wi-Fi, or a hotspot, or get enough signal to order Uber. The first time that happened, it was a big shock because we got dropped off at a restaurant, ate dinner, walked around to a brewery. Then we went to go home, and we couldn't get a fucking cell signal until we walked like 3 blocks and managed to pick up something. And we were on a major carrier, and we got like 1 bar to no bars in downtown Denver.
That's crazy. Is it just because of the amount of people that were there? Or
they don't have good coverage, or I don't know, but it's super shit. So we went to the Denver Zoo, which is a very famous zoo, and it is excellent. Really nicely laid out, really beautiful, great exhibits. Unfortunately, we went around midday, so things were kind of sleepy. We did our usual downtown thing of go eat at a bunch of restaurants that we've looked up. Went to the Botanical Gardens one day. That was really nice. Let's see, what else did we do in Denver proper? It was a lot of eating at restaurants, a lot of just bouncing around looking at things, and, you know, hitting a couple of major tourist attractions. There's stuff to do, but it's a city, and it's, you kind of see the flavors of what the city has compared to every other city. I'm not dissing it, but it wasn't my favorite part of the trip. It was really good, but it wasn't, the best. So after we were there over Labor Day weekend, because I didn't want to try and change hotels until Labor Day passed. The Tuesday after Labor Day, I had booked a second hotel a lot further out from the city. It was a little town just out west of Colorado Springs. Little tiny lodge. They had like 7 rooms. Apparently the building's like 100 years old and used to be, downstairs used to be this bar/restaurant, which fell idle like 10 years ago before the current owner bought it. But he's in the process of renovating it, which came into play a couple times because suddenly the house is shaking because they're, you know, lifting a beam downstairs to prop it back up because they were replacing major pieces of structure.
We need all of our guests to help hold the roof up while we put this beam into position.
Well, it was kind of nice because the first couple days we were the only ones. There was maybe one other occupant, so the whole place was quiet except for us and the contractors. We drove around. We went up to the tops of Pikes Peak. It took 2 attempts. The first time we did it, we got, because it's like an 18-mile trip up. There's 2 major stopping points, at which point you can hop on a shuttle if you so wish and don't want to drive anymore. And we got to the first stopping point just as they turned off the shuttles for the day because it was raining and it had turned to snow and the upper reaches weren't viable to get to. Mm. But literally we got there just as the last shuttle said, no, we're not going anywhere runs.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was cold and it was wet. It's beautiful. It was very cold and wet. Most of our trip, it actually rained some point of the day or all day. There was really nice weather otherwise. It was really dry, which, considering how rainy it was also kind of weird. But 70s, 80s, and then it cooled off nicely at night. So very pleasant to be outside in. So we ended up just driving all around the mountains, seeing stuff that's up there. We were going to go to a place called Garden of the Gods, which is a state park near us. But it kept raining. A lot of times we just hopped in the car and drove like through the mountains because we have like state forest chunks all around us. So you could go up the highway and then take this little turn off and you're driving through state forest. Second trip up Pikes Peak. It was very beautiful. Beautiful, gorgeous, sunny day. Didn't really hit any kind of cloud cover until we got up to the very tippy top of Pikes Peak. And it got kind of rainy and yuck up there. But the rest of the trip was nice because the top was just huddled in clouds. I didn't really get any altitude sickness the entire time until I hit the top of Pikes Peak. Hmm. When I got up there, which is, I think, about 12,000 feet, I started to get a little lightheaded, a little dizzy, a little just feeling kind of like not processing quite right. But the moment we hopped back in the shuttle car, we went down like 500 feet, I felt okay again. I did notice that walking around was harder. Like walking around the zoo and the botanical gardens got tired a lot faster than I normally would have. Like I felt 10 times more out of shape than I do normally. Just, it drained. It was just feeling very, everything kind of just was harder. So I see what they mean about you. You feel tired and things like that. So I can't imagine trying to run a con up there if you're not used to that area. And just trying to keep, you know, up the kind of pace that you do at Fiesta. Mm. So, like, Denver and all that is like, oof. I mean, sometimes we just spent time at because the lodge was in a tiny, tiny little town. And we just spent a lot of time just sitting on the deck, staring out at the mountains. Because it was really relaxing to just stand there and just, there's mountains rolling on in every direction in front of you. It was gorgeous. Very zen. I really like sitting up there. But I miss the mountains of New Hampshire. So, I mean, these are bigger. Mm-hmm. But still a mountain girl in the end. Oh, yes. And the mule deer were trying to kill us. I grew up with white-tailed deer, which are very flighty. If they see you, they will spook. They see you and they're gone like in a flash. I discovered that mule deer give no fucks. First time I saw them was like, we were sitting out on the deck, it was late at night, and we hear clop, 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 go and look over the edge of the balcony that we're on, and there's a mule deer and 2 half-grown fawns trotting down the road. It's like, oh, that's cute, and they're neat, and we got to see wildlife that we don't usually see. Oh. And then the second time we saw one was eating beside the road, And this is where I got a hint of, wow, mule deers give no fucks. Because she was literally just on the edge of the lane. So we blow past her in the car. We turn around. We go back. Maybe she'll still be there. You know, maybe we can get a picture of her. She's not only still there. We slow down the car and I take a picture with her just like 3 feet from it, staring at me, chewing. If this was a whitetail, they probably would not have been there when we turned around. And when the car slows down, they're usually even faster to just bolt if they haven't already. So, second encounter with mule deer, where I start to get a sense of they're a lot less flighty than the ones I'm used to. Third through 47th encounter with mule deer, and I'm not even kidding, one thing we wanted to do was do an astronomy trip down to a little observatory about 2 hours south of where I got the hotel. And of course, you have to do that at late night. So we left about, it was still a good amount of daylight, but about an hour into our drive, we had hit dark. By the time we hit dark, we were white knuckling, because all throughout our trip down, there are mule deer beside the road, in the road, thinking about crossing the road. Just, we saw literally about 47 mule deer in the dark, driving through the back roads of Colorado down a state highway, and we kept having to stop and honk them out of the road because you'd start slowing down and they'd just stare at you, look at you until you go honk. Then they would just, oh, I guess I should move. So the ones standing there were bad enough, but we weren't going too terribly fast and there was enough line of sight. But then there were ones that were kind of walking and thinking about stepping out into the road. And it's like, do not fucking hit a deer in my brand new car. And they're just constantly, and there's usually a group of 1 to 4 of them, just clump, 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 clump of suicidal deer all along the road. It wasn't as bad when we came back at later at night, but we still kept seeing them eating on the side of the road. And I swear to God, I thought we were going to wreck the car because it just took one stupid one stepping out in the road when we're doing about 50. And there goes my new car. Also on the way back, got to see a couple critters. Like, we were driving the 12 hours back because we did that in one long haul. And that's a very long drive. Just, I happened to look out the side window. It's like, oh, there's cows. There's llamas. There was a huge llama farm we passed. I realized, wait a minute. That's not a cow. That's not a llama. That's not a donkey. That's a fucking pronghorn antelope standing there beside the road.
Cool.
I'm like, whoa. Never saw one of those before. Saw marmots up on the top of Pike's Peak. They look like giant groundhogs. Saw a couple of other various critters. I don't even know the name of the bird species, but I like critter spotting. It was really neat to just come across an antelope in the middle of nowhere. Trippy things is going to Colorado in the dark. We were just short of Amarillo, and we're driving in the dark, and we see these strips of lights in the horizon flashing on and off. It's like, is that an airport? We drive up, and it's not quite lining up the way an airport should, and it keeps getting bigger, the string of lights, until these lights are going from horizon to horizon. And this entire string of lights, as far as your eyes can see, these little red lights, every one of them would turn off at once and turn on at once. And we finally decided that they were power lines, like those high tension power lines. And the entire thing would just blink on and off in unison in the dark. And it was kind of weird when it was horizon to horizon, the string of lights ran. Coming back through them, we kind of confirmed that, yeah, we were right there, high power lines. But what we didn't realize is that there are also a fuck ton of wind turbines out there. And when you have the sea of wind turbines and they're all kind of moving at the same rate, it's very sci-fi. It looks very surreal. It literally looked like something you'd see on like the background of a sci-fi futuristic show of like these smoothly designed white, almost like they were made by Apple designs, just moving in the backgrounds. It was really cool looking. Other than that, I mean, that's the majority of that I can remember at the moment. It was a good trip. It was long. I needed it. But then I got back and now I have emails and I'm still catching up on all of my tickets.
Mm.
So I'm just behind. my first day back, the moment I walked into the office, a problem dropped in my lap because I'm the subject matter expert on a particular item for my team. And suddenly, like, oh shit, this thing is going on and they want to do this on Friday. I'm like, what? Okay. So I jump in, and immediately two of the issues that they had flagged for putting a thing going live on Friday, tomorrow, is things that there were known issues out there for, and I'd already had, like, development tickets lodged for them. It's like, wait, guys, this isn't all that big of a deal. This is fairly minor. Let me fix it. There we go. You know? But that ate my Monday. I had little time to do any of my other catch-up. And then just everything else has been downhill of trying to catch up while other things jump up and down and say, me first, me first, me first. The other big thing this week is we finally, after getting that massive golf ball-sized hail in June, finally got a roof replaced this week. The company has not been the best at communication. And they can't really do a lot of work if it's raining. Well, it was originally supposed to be Monday. And they already did a no-go on their too much rain forecasted. So Tuesday, they were supposed to start. Well, Tuesday, it was supposed to rain too. And we were like, are we doing this? Are you going to replace the roof? Is the only thing you're going to be doing is replace the roof? Or there's a bunch of other hail damage they're booked in to do? And we're like, no one replied to us up there. So we shrugged, and come Tuesday morning, come 7 o'clock, you know, they start banging around outside and we have to suddenly move our cars. And so Wednesday morning they did that. They finished today. I had a bunch of other meetings with the project manager for all the repairs that they're doing, much better than the previous guy I was dealing with. Come by, discuss. So I ended up working from home the past 2 days. Just so I can handle all the repairs to the house.
It's cool that's an option.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't know what to do if they still have to replace the gutters. They still have to fix this, that, and the other thing. But all of it required the roofing to be done first before we could tackle that. So there's still a huge bill looming. We don't know exactly how much it's going to cost us. Because we don't know how much the insurance will actually cover.
Yeah.
Because the contractor's going to go to bat and try and get them to cover some things that were found afterwards. And get us a little bit more money to work on the rest of the projects. We're getting some improvements done, so there will be money that we owe. But the vast majority of this should be covered by insurance. Can't really think of... Yeah, that's about it for my wild and crazy...
That's the last 3 weeks of your life.
Yeah, I mean, right now the whole Colorado trip has kind of devolved into that week and a half long blur of I did a thing and there was a lot of stuff. And
Yeah. You know,
it just becomes something to...
You did a thing.
Yeah.
Did a lot of things.
I haven't had...
And there's like a long fucking drive.
Yeah. I haven't had a 2 week vacation in... years, if ever, I don't think.
Well, it wasn't 2 weeks. It was like 1 week plus
the weekends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most exciting thing I did recently was I ended up going to a failed mini convention in Fort Worth.
Yeah, so tell us about that. Like,
rumbles about that. I
thought it was going to be a big convention. Like, it was advertised like the way Fan Expo and... Dallas had a very slick looking website. Like, I actually thought it was the same company at first.
They were on the marquee of the Will Rogers Center sign, like it would rotate around and show their thing this weekend on site. So I've been working on a article, paper, whatever. It's now past 6,000 words.
Is this what spawned that paper?
No.
Oh.
It was just very coincidental that it occurred during my writing of it.
But probably a lot of the brony fandom cons up and downs over the years, I think. Probably.
Yeah. I'm writing, like, Severin's Newbie Convention Organizer's Guide. It's a 6,000-word document. I'm working on the finishing touches. It will be turned into audio, YouTube, and sent around as text. I'll get to post it to Dogpatch Press. I'll probably send it to Horse News. I'll probably send it to a couple of spots just to post it and be like, all right, you motherfuckers, this is what you'll deal with from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be dissuading. Like, this is a lot of shit that you're going to have to deal with. Do you really want to deal with this?
It's not a pool you want to jump into without knowing how deep it is. Yeah.
And even, like, when we started Fiesta, I wish I had known. If I had read the stock, I would have been really scared to start Fiesta. But
yeah.
It is. It's a scary thing to get into, and it's not something you should do lightly.
Yeah, and so the fact that this event that I went to, it was called the Galactic Swag Expo. I was doing research based upon the article I was writing, finding local events in your area, and I found this thing. And it worked out pretty well for my parents because they had a show lined up that they would have had to pay on site, but it was an outdoor event and we had rain all weekend. So I found this indoor thing that was 3.5 miles from their house that they could just drive over to and then go home each night without a problem. So it worked out there, but this was definitely one of those things where someone has attended a convention, thought, I could run a convention, that'll be easy, and not really thought their cunning plan all the way through. So the two guys doing it were a pair of brothers whose parents had long worked in the craft market field, mm-hmm. kind of like my parents. They thought, hey, I'm going to run a convention, and it'll be cool. I'm going to invite some cosplayers, going to invite maybe a couple of minor TV actors. I'll get this dude to bring a bunch of his, like, replica TV cars and shit. I'll get some vendors, some prop stuff, and that'll be it. And it'll be cool, and I'll get a lot of people. And that really wasn't the case. It would have been cool if they had underspent on their shirts, like they'd bought way too many shirts. Their marketing was poor, like they did it entirely on Facebook. They didn't have, like, a Twitter presence at all. And their pricing, while reasonable, like, there was no events. There was nothing to do once you were in. There was vendors. There was these replica vehicles you could look at. You could, like, pay $5 to do a VR headset thing. You could pay $20 and get to go onto a, like, replica set of the Millennium Falcon's cockpit and take photos. But that was really about it. There wasn't a ton of stuff. There wasn't anything to do. Like, people got their little wristbands, came in, they walked to the vendors, walked to the stuff, and were like, fuck, there's nothing to do. That's not good.
No panels?
There wasn't any panel. It wasn't any, like...
Didn't have any Q&As with the guests?
No. Like, that's surprising. It was really bizarre. Like, this was quarter-baked. They missed, like, the core part of an event is to have some programming. It can't just be two-thirds of the one area's hall. My best space comparison is the area that they were using was about the size of main events at Fiesta at the Intercontinental.
Really?
That was the entirety of the space they were utilizing.
Oh, wow.
So it wasn't even very big. It would have been fantastic if it had been in, like, a tiny little hotel with about that much space.
Mm-hmm.
And
it wouldn't feel empty that way.
It wouldn't feel empty. It wouldn't had so much, like, you would have to pay $10 to park at the convention center.
Mm-hmm. Wait, they use Fort Worth Convention Center?
Well, they were at the Will Rogers Equestrian Complex.
I don't think I know that one.
It's over by the Botanic Gardens and stuff. It's where all the horse barns and shit are, where they have the stock show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like he'd posted a couple pictures of horse statues and stuff.
There was a really badass statue of this horse called Midnight. He just fucking killed cowboys. It was great.
Mm.
It was like this horse was in the rodeo circuit for 10 years and only 9 cowboys were able to stay on his back for the requisite 9 seconds or whatever. It was really unfortunate because the guys were nice and they just jumped into the deep end of the pool without thinking about it. And like they closed early both days and people were wrapping up at like 5 and just getting ready to leave. And it also really sucked because when trying to leave, there was some like baby stuff consignment sale in the unused third section of the convention floor.
Mm-hmm.
And there they ended at the same time. So you had two disparate groups of people trying to load out at the same time in a very small loadout parking lot. It was a real mess. And it's really unfortunate because, like, these guys, they're well-meaning, but they didn't do their research and they didn't have any sort of consulting with an experienced individual.
It almost sounds like they planned the con based on what they like to do at a con, whereas, like there's certain things that I like to do at a furry con, and then there's other shit that I have absolutely no interest in. It would be like, it sounds like if I set up a con and I only had the Dior's room and the riding track.
Yeah.
And, like, I had zero fursuit programming or something like that, you know?
No dance comp, no dances, no panels, no, you know.
Like, you
who needs video games?
You only set up a con within the bubble of what your particular fandom interest is. It sounded maybe they needed a larger, more varied staff of people.
Yeah, and it seemed like they only had maybe a dozen people as, quote, staff.
Right.
Well, that's what we did for Fiesta, so.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying, but they didn't have a lot of people, because I only saw about a dozen folks that were working with them. Mm-hmm. And that's fine for a thing that small, but I don't think they had a varied enough bubble of people to let them know what they needed to have.
Right.
And so it really kind of slotted in real well with what I was writing, because mm-hmm. I got to basically go to an event that didn't read, well, obviously they didn't read my thing, but they did basically everything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like all these things that I've gone through and stated and said, you know, you need to do X, Y, and Z. They probably didn't have to deal with death threats or anything like that, but they're also going to deal with the money issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it can't be cheap to rent those spaces at the convention center.
How many people did they get to go?
A few hundred. At no point during the day I was there, Sunday, were there more attendees than there were vendors. My mom actually referred to, wow, this con really is outstanding, as in the vendors are outstanding in the hall aisles. And I was like, dang, Mom.
That's
sometimes your mom can lay down some serious salt.
I mean, and the thing is, for them, like, they made way more money than they would have at the other event, because it was an outdoor event that got rained out. So right. They would have just lost money then. They did make 3X booth as profit for the weekend.
Luckily, no big travel expense.
Yeah, so I mean, it worked out for them, only in that they had very little upfront cost, and their alternative would have been a money sink. So
yeah,
it's really sad, but it's also a really good example of how difficult conventions can be.
What not to do? A short story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm writing this. I did my pretty sure it might be my final like expansion pass. Fuzz, you were looking at it, giving me some notes.
And I need to sit down and reread the final and see if I can add any more.
Yeah, I had a lot of help.
Basically doing, like, typo checks and stuff. Like, so far, probably three quarters of the way through it, like, yeah, the advice and everything is all pretty solid and well-researched, and I just have, like I said,
a lot of it's typo polishing. Things,
but yeah, yes, and like, I did another polish thing this morning. Like, I sent it around. You've given me input. Jade's given me input. I sent it by Path and Sable. I've sent it to, you guys, both of you.
Mm-hmm.
And just being like, yo, give me any feedback you want. Leave the notes are open. I sent it by Bob, Sonia from BabsCon. I've sent it by Karen from EQLA, also on my staff. Like, I've sent this around to a bunch of convention chairmen and women and been like, yo, tell me if anything in here is stupid or wrong, okay?
And, like, I've never been a chair, but I was president of drama for a long time, and I did a lot of the hotel contracts. And like I said to you, it's like every time we start doing hotel contracts for Fiesta, and I start seeing those scary numbers for if this fails,
yeah,
what are you on the line for? And my asshole kind of goes, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Yeah, that's not a good woo.
No, that's an, oh, fuck, please don't let us.
There's two rather long, lengthy, scary paragraphs that are basically lifted wholesale from my contract for the last year of Nightmare Nights, which basically details that it's seriously a situation where the worse you do, the more you pay.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you fell into the attrition scenario that's outlined in the contract, where you were 27 nights under, the bill you would get,
mm-hmm.
just for the attrition in the hotel space, notwithstanding anything else, would be $18,091. And that's before food and beverage and anything else. Plus, you've had all your other associated convention costs, travel costs, guest costs, yada, yada, yada. So basically, just the hotel rooms and rental minus food and beverage minus everything else would be $18,000.
Do you have $18,000?
You better hope
you have $18,000, because you're on the hook for that.
I mean, we are doing that VW buyback on Panther's sport wagon, but that's not how I'd like to acquire the money, you know?
Oh, speaking of the buyback, does he have one of the efficient the ones with
the diesel? Yeah.
So, Colorado, we were driving up the highway, and there was like this racetrack. And then past the racetrack, we start seeing, like, at first we thought it was a parking lot for the racetrack, but it didn't look like anything was on. It's just this sea of cars. And we're talking about something about 3 football fields long of just cars packed in, nose to tail, just there. Like, what the heck is that? And they're not wrecks. They're not trashed. They're not stacked up like a scrapyard. They're all very neatly parked in rows, but there's a fuck ton of them. And we see them unloading them off these trailers, and we couldn't figure out what the hell it is. We looked on, like, Google Maps, trying to figure out what this giant 3 football field long of parked cars were. Nothing. We got back and asked Shorttail, who lived up there for a while, what the heck is that? Oh, he's like, oh, that's where all of the cars, the VWs, got parked. So, or at least it's one of the sites where all the recalled, bought back, recovered VW cars are ending up. Oh. It's just this football field of Volkswagens.
A VW graveyard?
Basically, yeah. And they're just there. That's
not the Cadillac Ranch.
I don't know how deep it is, just lengthwise, I could see... It was that huge.
Well,
so
thankfully we've gotten everything lined up, and we will be getting that nice chunk of change to trade them back in the sport wagon. I mean, it sucks to lose such a nice fuel efficient vehicle, but I like the money better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was basically our decision. And then of course, Panther's like, wait, I can afford to upgrade my phone and get the new Apple Watch. Oh, hell yeah. It's like, okay, look, I bought a high-end PC. He can buy a new phone and a new Apple Watch.
Well, you need a new phone, too, you said.
Yeah, and I'll probably get one, too.
Yours is like, is it the 6S kind of
It's
era?
The SE. It was the next model after the 6.
That's what
and
Sarah
Panther's
has.
A 6.
Okay. Yeah, so like, you guys have
pretty
been...
old.
Yeah.
That's what we're probably going to end up this weekend once Sarah decides what he wants.
Yeah.
And be doing the same thing, because his has, like, no battery life.
Yeah, left he was to it. Lamenting, because that'll, like, him trying to play Pokemon Go
yeah.
with that will just destroy his battery.
Is he going Android or Apple this time?
He hasn't decided yet. He really, the lack of jack mm-hmm. for earbuds are bugging the ever-living fuck out of him, because he doesn't like using Bluetooth headphones because he loses them.
Oh. So a lot of Android devices are also starting to go with the no headphone jack, because, I mean, a lot of it is like, as Apple goes, all the other phone manufacturers follow. Like, there's so many knockoff versions of the iPhone X now that they're making with the notch and stuff. But Tieran actually really likes his Android phone, and he actually found one that still has a headphone jack.
Yeah, a lot of the Samsung ones, as far as I know, mine does. I just upgraded mine, like, before MFM last year.
Oh, okay.
Siam got his, like, a couple months after me. They both have jacks still. Mm-hmm. But Sarah prefers, like, corded earphones.
Right.
And he really didn't want to deal with the weird dongle thing that you have to do if mm-hmm. you want corded phones now.
Yeah, I mean, I like my Bluetooth earphones. I understand why there's some reluctance to get them.
I mean, they're not for everybody. I mean, nothing
It's mostly
is.
He knows he loses shit.
Yeah, I mean, for me, shit. Having the wireless Bluetooth headphones has been nice, because I can wear them at the gym without, like, accidentally tugging my phone and knocking it off and sending it flying and unplugging my headphones.
I agree 100%.
It's just like, I about killed my phone once doing that, but yeah, I understand. That's why my phone has a case. So, we do have a bunch of topics, a lot that you have put in here, Shiva.
Yeah, that was a bad day.
You were, like, looking at the news and going, fuck, these motherfuckers, holy shit, oh my god. So, where to start? Because I'm in the fan chat. So, we've got thing from Patheos that you put in there, Shiva. Archbishop says he was unsure if priests raping children was a crime.
Like, how? How can raping anybody not be a crime? I mean...
Yeah, it's like...
talking
it's,
about
not,
priests...
He wasn't sure at the time, because this is like back in the late 90s, if having sex with children was illegal.
So...
What? I mean, the 1490s. Okay, maybe I could give you that, when like 14-year-olds can get married. But the 1990s? Mm-hmm. Really? This is like fucking, remember people were trying to dismiss Roy Moore's being creepy towards teenage girls in the 1980s as being like, well, it was the 80s. And I'm like, Motherfucker, it wasn't the 1880s. I mean,
yeah, like the article is like, after admitting to protecting pedophile priests from prosecution, St. Louis Archbishop Robert Carlson testified that he wasn't sure whether he knew if it was illegal for priests to have sex with children when he served as chancellor of the Twin Cities Archdiocese in the 1980s. Archbishop Carlson also said under oath he couldn't recall how he handled allegations of abuse against a Minnesota priest years ago, but Carlson did admit that he never went to authorities after finding out a priest engaged in criminal sexual conduct with a minor. So, this was just another blow-up of, yo, the Catholic Church is super fucked and has this massive institutional system of protecting pedophile priests and murderous nuns. And this goes back to the start of fucking Catholic Church. And just more shit coming to light. This most recent blow up was like in what, Pennsylvania, I think it was. And this other thing, Archdiocese of St. Louis, but he had previously been in Minnesota.
Yeah, because they shuffled them around when something happened in one, they just shuffled them to a new parish.
This totally happens in Protestant circles as well, but not to nearly the same degree. Like, that's the thing. The Catholic Church is this massive institution that has power and reach all over the world. So, some dude molests some kids in New Mexico, gets sent off to Pennsylvania, gets sent off to Wyoming, gets sent off to wherever, you know?
They also have a massive amount of wealth, so... Yeah, they can cover shit up or pay people off and move people around. And,
you know,
I mean, and then like I know one of the people years ago, it was like in Chicago, I think. They ended up moving him out of the country, but by moving him to Rome, they actually basically gave him a promotion. Like they bumped him up to cardinal or whatever.
Yeah, and this goes back to 1979 to 1994. So this was, 15-year range of abuse that this guy just covered up.
Mm-hmm.
And This is merely one of a million fucking...
Examples.
Like, you know, what's the phrase? If kids got raped at Denny's as often as they got raped at church, it'd be illegal to take your kids to Denny's.
Yeah.
Wow, I hadn't heard that phrase, but yeah, it seems... accurate.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where goddamn nerds ruined it for everybody. The being like vocally atheist is kind of frowned on and looked at with suspicion because of its associations nowadays. But man, I see this shit and I'm like, who could fucking believe a fucking inch of this nonsense with the amount of evil? If this wasn't
a religious institution, this shit would have been crushed into the ground decades ago.
Yeah.
Is this a school or Walmart or whatever where they institutionally protected? Yeah.
The only other thing I can think of is like Penn State, like covering up all the sexual allegations of that guy.
Mm-hmm. But imagine if every college was doing this systematically and moving coaches between school and school to protect them from, you know.
Right. Yeah. Like, I think the way you said, like, yeah, it happens in Protestant circles, but not as widespread as it. Protestant circles are not one gigantic monolithic organization.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And like, they're not organized in the same way.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the whole point of them being Protestant. They protested the hierarchy and structure of the church to be independent.
Yeah.
And so they are off doing their own thing. There's little, you know, synods and whatnot, but this massive structural institution. And it's funny because the article that you linked here is also from 2014, Shiva. But it's no less applicable because, we just had that thing with, like, Pennsylvania or whatever, where a whole bunch more, like, oh, yep, guess what? The guys in this region also covered up the sexual exploitation of children. Oh, man, it just keeps happening. I don't know. Maybe there's this massive structural issue in an institution that needs to be crumbled to dust and spat on, and the wealth redistributed to the countries that they colonized and enslaved and destroyed.
Welcoming Dio onto our podcast.
Yeah. You're here to vore the rich. Speaking of related things, like, I retweeted a thing from Not a Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll never be a billionaire, but it's not too late to find out what they taste like. And one of the people that liked it was my mom. So
I love your mom.
Oh, my mom's online. She's retweeting angry things on Twitter. Though, like, she went to her doctor the other day, and her doctor was like, your blood pressure is really up. Are you okay? Are you eating too much salsa? He's like, no, I was looking at Facebook in the waiting room. And like, you don't need to do that. It's like,
but they're just so stupid. Ah.
Oh, yeah. So this was the recent thing, fortune thing. Pennsylvania priest child pornography grand jury report. Priest produced child pornography on church property, Pennsylvania grand jury report states. Yep. So, yeah, major fucking content warning thing again. Among the horrific revelations of 1,356 page grand jury report found more than 1,000 identifiable child victims were abused by over 300 priests.
Holy shit!
And that they used the church property to produce child pornography. What the fuck?
So, last year, my dad got drafted for like 18 months to serve on the Virginia grand jury, one of their circuit whatever. And that means that basically what he was mostly doing was looking to see if there was enough evidence to indict someone to proceed with whatever they're going to do. And he said the stuff that he was reviewing as part of that, I mean, he's talking about astronomically horrific things like sex trafficking, drug deals, incredible amounts of murder. We're talking about some of the worst things because they don't get up that far unless it's really fucking serious. And he said after doing that for 18 months, it was so soul-sucking to see what humanity is capable of. So it was awful.
One of the paragraphs reads, a number of priests cited in the report were found by church and civil authorities in possession of child pornography as well. In 2004, a priest ordained in 1974, Ronald Yarosh, was found with a, quote, tremendous amount, unquote, of child pornography.
Like nowadays when like they catch someone who's downloaded something from a file sharing website for child porn or something, for them to actually point out that it's a tremendous amount, like holy balls. I mean,
yeah, like the people that hoard that shit tend to have a ton of it, but for a priest to be like a quote tremendous amount unquote
implies more than the average pedophile.
And the next sentence is, he pleaded guilty to possession and to an unrelated act of embezzlement, but the church didn't expel him until 2007, after a subsequent parole violation led him back to prison.
Jesus fucking hell.
So these are both articles that are going to be linked in the show notes, but wow.
If anybody got a sniff of that and it proved to be true in any way, shape, or form, just cut ties, set them free, excommunicate them. And you shouldn't in any way, shape, or form tolerate this. You're a fucking priest. You're supposed to be the good of the good.
And, you know, I highly doubt they excommunicated him. They'll probably still do all the last rites and shit like that when he dies.
But I would just, you are a fucking child.
And they'll excommunicate people for other shit, like getting an abortion or something like that, you know.
But yeah, sure. Child porn? Why not? Yeah.
I guess getting an abortion means one less kid that they can fuck, so that's worse.
I found those two back to back. I was like, holy fuck. You know?
Yeah, that's like, yeah, that just. Title that part of the show notes a forking wow. Like,
yeah. What the forking fork? Let's see. Next up, we had a thing where a mayor in what?
Oh, so hold on a second. Okay. So what I was thinking was, do you want to try to cut the enormous amount of bad news with fun things too?
Okay.
Like go back and forth here. Talk about shitty things, talk about fun things.
You want to clap to mark this so you can see the spike?
Oh, I was just going to leave that in. Like, okay, so why don't you talk about this cute dog character wanting to smash?
Okay, so today was a Nintendo Direct. It had been delayed a week because there was a earthquake in, I think, Hokkaido, Japan, which hurt a bunch of people. It was a major deal because that earthquake happened like just after a typhoon had come through and fucked shit up too. So it was bad. And they delayed things for a bit, and it's unfortunate because a lot of the companies had lined up their announcements to coincide with the Nintendo Direct. The Nintendo Direct was delayed, but a lot of the announcements were not.
From, like, the developer companies.
Yeah, so a bunch of developer stuff came out, and everyone was like, oh, okay, cool, this is coming out. So there wasn't a lot surprising, but at the very end, after everyone was like, man, this was kind of disappointing. I mean, it's cool that they're bringing, like, all these Final Fantasy games to the Switch, because why not? You're going to get Final Fantasy 7, 9, 10, 10, 2, 15 Pocket Edition, Chocobo's Dungeon, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, not Final Fantasy 8 because fuck Final Fantasy 8, I guess. And then at the very end, they have this thing where it's Isabel, the cute little dog from Animal Crossing, whom everybody thinks is cute and wants to bang. She's at her desk and she's talking and everyone's like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, it's gonna be a new Animal Crossing game. And then she goes to the front door and the pelican mailman comes in. He's like, hey, Isabel, got a letter. And she opens it and it's a Smash announcement. Isabel turns over a new leaf, and they show off that she's a new character and her doing her moves and her ultimate smash and all this other shit. And everyone's like, you motherfuckers, how dare you tease us?
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, there was a scene of Tom Nook at his computer being like, well, you know, once the mayor and Isabel get back from all their smashing, they're going to need some new houses, so I guess I should get to work. Just splash screen says Animal Crossing 2019. So that was like the one major announcement that hadn't been leaked at this point because it's a Nintendo first party game.
Mm-hmm. They should have like borrowed Tim Cook from the Apple
one more show thing
to do the one more thing. Yeah.
Well, in this particular case, it was exciting because that means lots more cute art of Isabel. And also probably no porn of Isabel. It was nice and unexpected and a good final surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you also, this is one of the other really positive things about Mastodon. So I tweeted about, like, yo, market to me, daddy, about the Nintendo Direct on Twitter. But I actually spent my time tooting over on Mastodon during the Direct with the snouts.online local feed. And it was really funny because one of the admins had came on and been like, hey, you know, if you guys are going to talk about Nintendo Direct, please content warning it with Nintendo Direct so people can filter it because they don't get spoiled.
Right.
And everybody complied because we're good little snouts members. And it was really funny.
We're all good little snouts.
We're all good little poppers. It also let people filter for Nintendo Direct and also put your reaction behind a tweet. Just said Nintendo Direct. And you could choose to not look at it and not be spoiled in case you're at work and you couldn't watch it. So that was another really nice thing that Mastodon has over Twitter is like you can tweet about something, but not everybody has to look at it. And you're not like shouting, holy shit, Katamari Damacy on the motherfucking Switch. This is amazing. Which is amazing. Like, I'm excited. I'm going to buy that day one. just inject that straight into my Switch.
Oh, baby.
Okay, so one of the really cool things is, you know, they have the two Joy-Con controls.
Uh-huh.
Do you ever play Katamari Damacy?
No.
Where it was basically played with just the two analog sticks, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And both forward, you did tank controls, like one up, one down to turn. They have it so you can play it with the Joy-Cons.
So you could kind of steer it?
Yeah, so you can steer it with your hands and the Joy-Cons. It looks super fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
right. So I guess the Joy-Cons have accelerometers in them. Oh, okay.
So that's cool. Exciting. It was nice, and everybody was. It's really pleasant to be in a space where everybody is enthusiastically excited about a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's getting excited together and not having shit pop in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like because it's not on Twitter. It's like, oh, excited about Nintendo, and holy fuck, the government just ate a fuckload of orphans. Also Nintendo shit, yay! And this rapper just
shot his girlfriend.
Yeah, you know, it's like where it's not everybody was just talking about this one thing.
Yeah.
And they were being nice about it. That was pleasant. I mean, yes, Snouts is only like 300 people.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still a much nicer group of people to deal with than the internet as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, of course, people are going to be negative about stuff on the net, and that's a given. But in this particular case, in sort of this self-selected group, it was very pleasant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Isabel, she's cute. There's a gif of her sucking some mean dick in the topics. She's just going to town on it. It's a nice looping gif. that's the title for this episode, Isabel Can Smash.
Mm-hmm.
I've already seen the other cute picture you retweeted where she's just wearing a little t-shirt and says, "Wanna smash?" with a question mark.
Yeah. And there was another one where Isabel holding a broken bottle.
Yeah, I saw that. She's ready to fight.
And there was another one I retweeted where it's Isabel standing there with her hand on her hip and a paw on her chin that says, "Huh, maybe we should take this outside."
So back onto the bad news.
Back onto the shit. What do you got, Fuzz? What awful shit are we going to talk about?
Okay, so this is something that, it's video game related, so you guys can go into more detail about this. But I had seen an article on Twitter about it, and I'd read it. So apparently the Spider-Man video game, there was a gamer who had talked to the devs, and they wanted to, he wanted to have it on a billboard saying, Maddie, will you marry me? And they were going to put it on the billboard of like a movie theater in the game. She's not a gamer, video gamer, first thing. So the way the original article, and there's a lot of articles like this that are like, oh, isn't this so sad and so romantic? Like the dude that was like gonna play his piano in the park in London until his girlfriend took him back, and then the internet's like, no, that's actually not romantic. That's really creepy and stalkerish, and he should just go home. And this is, and the way this article was originally couched was, oh no, she broke up with him before the game was released and hooked up with his brother. And they changed the message to something else. They made it sound like, oh, so sad and heartbreaking for him. And someone was like, okay, so like I see all these articles and it's always one-sided like this. No one reporting this had actually talked to the girlfriend, or the ex-girlfriend in this case. So this one reporter actually contacted her and was like, what's your side of the story? And the link to that will be in the show notes. But basically, she was like, we'd been together 5 years. We were living at his parents' house because of circumstances. And they were living in a house with like 8 people. And like, she'd tried for years to get him to like better himself or do anything with his life. But he was basically a loser that only played video games. And like, she supported him that like, she would sit next to him, I guess, while he played games. But she had no fucking interest in it. And she didn't actually sleep with his brother.
Yeah.
His brother was also a friend and reached out to her to see if she was okay. So they're good friends. And they obviously discussed like the relationship issue and everything, but they didn't actually get together. So that the whole, she dumped him for his brother, is not true. And you start reading it and it's like, yeah, you need to see the other side of the story in this case. It just sounds like this guy didn't have a lot going for him, isn't really doing much with his life. And she's
young,
like,
too.
And they're young, and she's like, I want to, like, do something with my life.
She's
Early 20s. She's like, I want to go out dancing. I want to go out to dinner.
Yeah, she's like 21.
You know, I want to go and do shit, and he never wants to do shit. And I'm like, the way she described it, she had totally legitimate reasons to break up with this dude. And I'm glad that the full story is getting out there, but this happens so often. We're like, these guys think they're entitled to somebody's affections. And what is read as a romantic gesture by gamers is actually,
what the fuck?
Very what the fuck. Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, this is from her statement, it's like, even the proposal, which he thought was the save all of our relationship, was never the way I would have liked to be proposed to. I never liked video games, but I sat through them because I loved him. Our relationship turned into a mother and son relationship where I had to remind him about things, I had to deal with his financial mistakes, his violent outbursts, etc. We never did normal things couples do. And then, of course, there's two further updates where Gamble clarified that she is not now, or nor has she ever dated his half-brother, and they are just friends. And then a further update saying that she's deleted her social media account because of gamer harassment.
Yep. And that was just sort of the cherry on the top of this shitty cake. You know, when I saw that, and it was like, update 2, she's now deleted her social media because of harassment. And I was just like, of course. Of course she got fucking harassed on the internet because of this bullshit. Because
keyboard warriors.
Fucking gamers, you know? Any other good news now? Do we have any more good news?
I do have something amusing.
Okay.
So, my fun thing is that Alex Jones has had a very bad series of weeks. He's been banned off of Twitter. He's been banned off of the App Store. He's been banned off everywhere under the sun. and his money is being severely curtailed because he's a shithead who doesn't deserve to have anything good in his life. In this particular case, now, y'all know of Pepe the Frog, the unfortunately co-opted frog who used to be like, feels good, man, and now instead is
just more... just a random stoner kind of character.
Yeah, and now is instead more likely to say something incredibly racist. The creator of this character, Matt Fury, is taking Alex Jones to trial over copyright infringement. Fury is dismayed by Pepe's association with white supremacy, antisemitism, and the alt-right, and Jones has used the image without permission. And so Pepe the Frog is getting his day in court.
Like, Matt Fury even went... to go and he went and killed the character off in the comics because of this shit.
Yeah, and July 16th, 2019 is the trial date for that. So it's a little bit ways off, but it's just one more thing sitting in the horizon for that shithead. You know, he's going through a divorce with his family, losing access to his kids, having his money cut off via losing his YouTube channel and Twitter channel and... like, hell, even Pornhub banned him.
What?
Yeah.
He had an account on Pornhub, I guess?
I guess. And he also had, like, uploaded some shit where he... it wasn't his conspiracy stuff, but it was...
his porn conspiracies.
Yeah. The fact that these guys have bigger dicks than me is a Jewish plot.
What?
I don't know.
Yeah, we're making
Making shit up, but that is funny. He's sued two companies in March, alleging copyright infringement and seeking unspecified damages. He also seeks a permanent injunction barring unauthorized use of his image by associated factions of the racist alt-right. Fury has said he's sued because he's dismayed by Pepe's association with white supremacy, antisemitism, and the alt-right, including unauthorized use of the image by President Donald Trump and his supporters, including Alex Jones. But basically, he's suing a bunch of folks, and Alex Jones is one of them. And that is very funny.
He is well within his rights to do so as the character's creator.
Yeah, among items Jones' company had previously offered for sale is a copyright-infringing poster prominently featuring a copy of Pepe. The poster sold for $30, with Jones claiming sales helped support InfoWars in the fight for free speech. The items are no longer available for sale at the InfoWars store. A search for Pepe on the website as well as merchandise also produced no results for the cartoon frog.
Yeah, this is a fairly... slam dunk open and shut case of copyright infringement.
It's being like, this dumb shit was doing this. Here is the images. Here's the physical product that was sold for $30 a pop. Here is X, Y, and Z. And when it comes to like willful copyright infringement shit like this, a lot of times it's done on a per infringement basis. So like for every poster
Alex
sold.
Jones formerly had a very large presence. And yeah, he must have sold to probably quite a few of those.
I'm gonna guess. And it doesn't matter. Like, it was for sale. Like, how many did he have produced? Because even if he didn't sell them, he had them produced, which he paid money for some other company to infringe on the copyright of Matt Fury. Uh-huh. So he's probably on the hook for it. Same as the company that printed the posters.
So does that mean if he printed, like, 1,000 posters, he's got 1,000 counts of copyright infringement?
Yeah.
Wow.
And each one of those...
and that's just the posters. We're not talking about mugs or buttons and
any
all
other dumb shit.
Yeah.
Like the people that made that Pepe enamel pin that Richard Spencer was wearing when he got punched in the face.
I was just thinking that, yeah.
You know, whoever did that, they're probably getting sued. Mm-hmm. There was another, like, children's book thing that had Pepe as a character that got sued into oblivion.
I remember that. Like, actually had the balls to fucking make a whole book about not their character. And what I was, as mentioned earlier, Shiva, was McDonald's had a advertising campaign in the 80s. You remember they were like, Big Mac tonight. And it was like a moon shaped.
Yeah. I remember.
Yeah. They've co-opted that character for the alt-right also. And like this character
has 4chan, man.
Been seen in like 30 years. And they just went and started using him in alt-right shit. So I'm like...
and the original thing, like, for the character was that you could get a Big Mac late hours because they were keeping the restaurants open later. And that was it. It was like this weird moon man thing with a playing a piano on a white cloud in space. It was this weird adding thing that they just co-opted the imagery of this character and... slapped it into all sorts of racist stuff. You know, even if you're doing it for the lulz, you're still doing it.
And like, unlike Matt Fury is like an independent artist, a content creator, like McDonald's is a massive corporation. So if anyone's selling fucking racist merchandise with that character, You know, I guarantee they probably still have a trademark or a copyright or something on that character. They don't, big companies don't let that shit just sort of lapse. So,
but I don't know how much that they can really do unless they start making merchandise with it.
Yeah, which they did in Pepe's case. But yeah, if they start making merch with that character for racist posters and shit like that.
And McDonald's has a lot of fucking money.
And lawyers, which they've used for ill in the past. This would actually be a good use of their massive corporate power.
Because everybody remembers the misinformation around the hot coffee scandal.
You read my mind. I was thinking that has become something of a pet peeve of mine. Whenever someone throws that out as an example of a frivolous lawsuit,
yep.
It's like, no. McDonald's spent a shitload of money to cover up the facts of that case, and it spread this misinformation, you know, that this customer was just a dumbass. And that wasn't the case at all. Like, it wasn't even like the normal 120 or 180 degrees at the coffee.
They were keeping it at 210.
Yeah.
I believe.
It was hotter than it should have been. The lid wasn't on correctly. She ended up with third degree burns
on her groin.
And thighs, yeah.
And like, you can sort of imagine how fucking painful that would be. Not to mention embarrassing.
Literally cooking the skin off your dick, or in her case, the vagina.
And she was also fairly fucking old. She was an older lady.
Yeah, it's one of those things that anytime you see the base story that you really should dig in a little bit more, because the reason the McDonald's was doing it so hot is they were trying to keep the coffee better longer.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if it cooled down, they didn't have to make more coffee. So odds are, at the time, you're also getting pretty old coffee when you ordered it.
Right.
And
so another cost-saving measure that probably saved them, like, less than a nickel a cup or something, you know?
Yeah.
It was also so that when customers received their coffee, it would stay warmer in the cup longer. But on the other hand, you couldn't drink it for, like, however long.
Yeah, because it was literally a couple degrees off of still boiling.
Yeah.
I mean, shit.
It's an absolutely ridiculous case, and I'm really glad that I found out more about it later. So, yeah, if you ever hear anyone throw, like, hot coffee served hot. No, you fucking set them straight on that lawsuit.
For real. Let's see, what else? We also have a thing, Fuzz, you just linked it. Or no, it was Shiva. So, mm-hmm. Renegade Mothering discovered I was white. What's this about, Shiva? Read us an article.
So, it was basically, it's a long article.
Yeah, don't read the whole article.
Okay, TLDR us it.
It was written by a woman where basically she grew up white, like you and I, and we're basically throughout, you know, our education, it's like, yeah, the line that a lot of people are fed is, yeah, we did a lot of bad things to black people in the back of the day, but we had the civil rights movement, so now everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts off with an article coming home and quipping to, like, her grandmother's, like, well, you know, they've got, like, Hispanic club and this, that, and the other thing. Why is there never a white club? And kind of the typical shit that, you know, stupid people say. And she goes on about how when she went to college and then grad school, she started getting her eyes opened and better examples of, no, look, this is what it really means. And she was like, it took me getting all the way through graduate school before anybody actually explained to me what the fuck is going on. So I can finally appreciate what, you know, minorities and such are going through. And no, it's not just civil rights movements and everything's cool. There's a lot still going on here. Mm-hmm. It's actually well written out and has a lot of sources on, you know, what kind of her realizations, you know, as she went through her process and what opened up her eyes to, you know, what exactly does white privilege mean? And it was a really good article when I read it.
Yeah, it's a really big, long article because a lot of people don't, you know, people try not to think about race. They try to say they're colorblind. And really, you know, that is a big example of white privilege where we, mm-hmm. you know, we're all white here and we don't have to think about a lot of the structural oppression that happens to black people today and everybody else. And, you know, reading up about it makes you realize, oh, fuck. And you try to be better about it. But even then, you know, you're looking at the shit in the news, like that guy in Dallas who got shot by the cop who was drunk and busted into his apartment and fucking murdered him. And now the police force are like, oh, well, there was weed in his apartment 4 days after he was murdered by a cop. And,
who walked into the wrong apartment.
Yeah, and this
by mistake.
Them retroactively trying to impugn his character.
So let's clarify. She was off duty.
Yeah.
She was not, like, with a search warrant or anything else. She went to his apartment, which was one floor off of hers, quote-unquote mistakenly entered it. It was dark. She saw a shape that did not comply with her orders and shot. Well, one, you entered his apartment. Why the fuck would he listen to anyone telling him what to do in his own apartment?
Mm-hmm.
And not being just utterly fucking confused why this lady was yelling at him to do whatever. And, yeah. So, just to clarify, she was not on duty when she did this. She was coming home from apparently a 15-hour shift, which is insane. 12. Well, I saw 15 on a different one.
I saw 12, but it doesn't matter, because fucking RNs and shit and residents at hospitals will do like a fucking 19-hour shift and not shoot anybody, you know?
Yeah. They might, though, make a very bad mistake
and
kill you.
So that's totally not a good thing to do.
Well, they might kill you by misdosing you.
Right.
I mean, you know, they won't shoot you, but they might make a critical mistake. But long, inappropriately long shifts is a different topic entirely.
Yeah, but like, working a 12 or 15 hour shift, I mean, accidentally shooting someone to death, that's not a fucking excuse.
If anybody else who came home from a long ass day walked into the wrong apartment by mistake and shot someone that wasn't listening to do whatever, they would be in cuffs pretty much instantly and charged.
Yeah.
It took them, what, 3 days before they managed? They came up with a warrant and arrested her?
She has since been charged with manslaughter.
Yeah, but it's just the cops trying to retroactively smear the guy.
Yeah, like, to me, when I saw that article, and I was like, there was no fucking reason for that article to exist. Who the hell thought, oh, cops searched the apartment and found weed, was like a headline, it was headline news that it needed to be out there like it was a thing, you know? I mean, oh, they also found his TV. I mean, it's completely immaterial to the fucking story, you know? It doesn't matter what he had in his apartment.
He wasn't doing anything to anybody. He was in his own fucking home.
Yeah.
Existing while black. And that's a death sentence in America.
Yeah. The ratio on this right now, this particular tweet from Fox 4 News, our local Fox affiliate, is at 744 retweets, 1.4K likes, 25,000 replies.
Yeah.
And there was a interesting, I saw a video clip from a comedian, black comedian, who was like, yeah, like, I remember one time my house got robbed, but I didn't call the cops because I know I was in a nice house in a nice neighborhood being a black man. Like, they'd come in, bonk my ass, and declare that the crime solved.
Yeah.
You know, and I could just see these rednecks being like, oh, this happened to me when I was younger. We came in and there was a black man in the house. They sneak in and put pictures of them and their family up in that house. Just sprinkle some crack on them and let's get out of here. And that's not too far off.
Yeah. I mean,
you hear even these, like, this happens to black celebrities even in their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
This happened in, God, it was Florida, I think it was, where a woman called the cops on a congresswoman canvassing in her own district.
Oh, my
because
God.
Because she was black and going door to door talking, trying to talk to people. I mean, this shit happens all the time. Man, Botham Jean, that man got fucked, and then now they're trying to smear his ass.
I want to follow up on a story from a few years ago. I need to look it up. There was a black woman in Florida who had like a state level job. Like, she was like the state attorney or something like that. And the cops pulled her over and they're like, oh, well, we thought you were driving suspiciously or the old taillight is out routine or something like that. And she's like, uh-huh, sure. Here's my card.
I'm the motherfucking state attorney.
Yeah, and they were like, oh, well, we're very sorry for taking up your time and everything. And it's like, she totally took their names and badge numbers, and I'm curious whatever came of that, because that was the only thing in the article at the time.
I remember hearing about that. And
yeah, this
sadly, probably nothing.
Yeah,
this was 5 or 6 years ago. And like, yeah, it's like, at least she's not dead is like the best thing I can say about that story, you know? But yeah, just fucking unbelievable.
The cops.
You know, and like not even like black woman canvassing the neighborhood or anything like that. I saw an article not too long ago where somebody called the cops because they saw a black person in a house in their neighborhood. It was his fucking house. Like, they just saw a black guy in a house and assumed he was robbing the place. But it was his fucking house. And, mm-hmm. like, yeah, the cops didn't show up and shoot him, at least. But, like, the cops came to the door and he had to, like, fucking produce ID. And, you know, when you're hanging out at home and you're wearing your fucking slop around the house pants or shorts or a tank top or something.
And you might end up looking homeless because you're at home in your comfy clothes and it might be fucking laundry day.
Yeah, day three of fucking working at home, man. I got the neck beard going on and everything like that. And anyway, where I was going with that is that you don't walk around the house with your wallet in your pocket. I mean, I don't anyway. I can't imagine most people do. So yeah, gotta go and produce ID. And of course, these cops are standing there all suspicious and shit like that. And it's just like, that's hassle he doesn't need. Just because a white person saw a black guy in a house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming it was a majority white neighborhood if they felt that he didn't belong there. Fucking ridiculous. Anyway, I think we need to find something positive again because we just got mad.
There's a lot of fresh Isabel porn. It's really great.
Yeah. Savage sent me a really nice gif of her sucking dick while being spanked. That was fun.
So actually, here's something cool. It's fun. So, Willie Nelson's a big deal in Texas.
Yeah, this is a good story.
Well, I haven't heard this one.
So, Willie Nelson is headlining a rally for Beto O'Rourke, the Democratic challenger to the Zodiac Killer, Ted Cruz. They're actually pretty close, which is in Texas. It's pretty wild. He has a fighting chance. Mm-hmm. And Willie Nelson is headlining a rally for him that is driving the usual suspects nuts.
Yeah, conservative country fans are going crazy because Willie Nelson is doing this. It's like, Willie Nelson has been a long-haired, weed-smoking hippie his entire life. Like, how is this fucking shocking to you? Oh, you know what else is funny? Apparently, a little while before this, at a Willie Nelson concert, Willie invited Beto and his family up on stage. And I guess Beto O'Rourke played with Willie Nelson.
Yeah, because he was in a band.
Because he was in a band. I think he plays guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you know what's funny about that? Ted Cruz tried to use that against him as an attack. And I'm like, wait, rock it out with Willie Nelson is seen as a bad thing?
In Texas?
In Texas? Like, did you forget what? Well, I mean, maybe that's just how fucking out of touch our Republican senator is, you know?
Yeah, and it's going to be September 29th in Austin, Texas. A press release from Nelson's publicist describes the event as the first public concert Nelson has held for a political candidate.
Like ever.
Ever.
This dude's in his 70s.
My wife Annie and I have met and spoken with Beto, and we share his concern for the direction things are headed, Nelson said in the press release. Beto embodies what is special about Texas, an energy and an integrity that is completely genuine.
And I tweeted that as a quote with attribution to Willie Nelson.
That was a fun thing. So I've got another fun thing.
All these people, you know, it's just screen caps of people being nutso on his Facebook page or whatever.
Yeah. This reminds me of? This reminds me of the backlash that the Dixie Chicks got back during the W administration for being against the Iraq war and saying that they were so embarrassed by their president. They were performing overseas at the time. And conservative country fans were going nuts and, like, destroying their CDs
like
and stuff like that.
Like having fucking burning parties and shit.
And this is, like, another fucking stereotype thing, right? Just because someone's a country musician doesn't mean they're conservative. Yeah. And like, yeah, there's
probably like pickup trucks.
There's clearly a stereotype there, and a large part of it maybe accurate, but not always the case. You know, it's also like not all black people are liberal. Kanye, you know,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, this is basically
he's a billionaire.
They should have the fucking Dixie Chicks, like, performing with him just to make people's fucking heads explode. And if Republicans' heads explode in Texas, Well, that'll be less people to vote for Cruz in November.
Exactly. I have another cool thing as well, Shiva. So if you want to, or I can go while you're doing that. So Nike, we didn't talk about that because we hadn't talked to that yet because it happened in the week that we were not here. Nike put Colin Kaepernick on a major ad campaign.
Yeah, he's the new face of their Just Do It
campaign. Yeah, and that's cool. Nike's still a bad company for their sweatshop practices and shit, but it's cool that they're giving Kaepernick some money.
A bad company can still do a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, megacorps, none of them are good, but this is a good thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
So people flip the fuck out. They're burning their Nikes. They're cutting the Nike swooshes off their clothing, destroying shit they've already purchased to own the libs. There was another image I thought was funny. It was like,
yeah, it's like, burn those $100 shoes. Sure.
A grandpa holding a pair of New Balance shoes over a garbage can saying, you know, fuck you, Nike. I'll never buy another pair. And because they have the N.
I'm like, wait a minute. New Balance has an
N.
Yeah, yeah.
And New Balance's owner gave a lot of money to Trump. So
yeah, I was like,
I hate buying them, but no other company really makes shoes that are wide enough for my wide ass feet.
Right.
I prefer to buy Nikes or Vans or something else, but they're not wide enough. But that's neither here nor there. John Rich of the musician duo Big and Rich kind of got a lot of press, a lot of tweets coverage when one of his dudes like cut the tops of his Nike swoosh socks off.
Oh, that was the first picture I saw.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, fuck you, we're going to, you know, this is going to happen times a million. And then people were like, you still bought them, you dumbass. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you just wait. Pride comes for a fall. You just wait till their stock is next week.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Their stock has gone up in value $350.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And their online sales on their web store went up 30% that week.
Yeah. So it's like Nike made a very calculated decision and realized, wait, the people that buy our shit are not the people that are going to get mad about Kaepernick. So who fucking cares?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people pointed out, like, Nike makes a lot of shit that these people are getting mad about would probably hate, too. Like, they make sport hijabs.
Right, yeah.
Which is kind of neat.
Wasn't there, like, there's, like, a photo of a Muslim woman, like, wearing one and a hijab and had, like, the Nike.
It was a package, but yeah, it's just, like, yeah. A sport, because, you know.
Also, Sabrina Williams.
Yeah, her Serena suit.
Williams has her, yeah, she has a Nike logo on her tennis.
Her compression suit.
Uniform. Yeah, her, no, not her, well, she might on the compression suit. I haven't seen a close-up of that. No, this was when she played it, the last game that she played, where okay. She was, had the, like, the ballerina, tutu.
Yeah.
But, like, the upper part of it has the Nike swoosh logo on it.
So it's just like, you know, these people are like, oh, they fucked with the silent majority. And it turns out they're really not. It's kind of like, remember when you,
yeah.
On the small scale, had all the people being like, why is For Planet blocking their real clientele and nothing
Why
happened?
Would they want to cut themselves off from 50% of their customers? And you know what? I don't know if it was 30%, but our web sales went up for, like, 2 weeks after that hullabaloo.
Yeah, it turns out that siding with fascists and bigots is not good for the bottom line, and being willing to make a stand against it in some small way,
yeah,
you know, is helpful, you know. So that's cool. That was a cool thing that I saw and was remembered because, like, oh, I should look at their stock value, because I love it when dumbasses like this are shown that they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I didn't feel like tagging the fucker and getting dogpiled, but I did post the screenshot side by side of the 1 week later of their stock being up a couple bucks at the time.
Yeah.
There's that other one I sent to you guys. Well, there's the gas explosions up in the Northeast.
Oh, right? Yeah. I'm actually kind of worried about that. If anybody knows anybody in the New Hampshire kind of area.
So there's been at least like 30 fires around Lawrence, Mass, Lower New Hampshire, up in the Maine, of gas lines blowing up in houses. And they haven't really figured out what's going on yet. They're thinking maybe the line got overpressurized because they've been overhauling some of the pipework up there. But they've been ordering to evacuate towns because of this. But people are like, where do I go? And apparently trying to get people out of here because the interstates are fucked. Everything's fucked. Nobody knows where to go. It's kind of really nasty up there. I pass it on to my family who has got still strong connections up there, and they're like, oh shit, this is awful.
Yeah, I saw Cello tweeting about it. That's how I
think,
first
learned. Yeah, I think
about
he's out there somewhere. I can't remember where. Somewhere in New England. I know that. But yeah, holy shit. Just who the fuck decided to make that decision?
Yeah, that's just one of those. Our infrastructure's super fucked, and that's really unfortunate. Yeah, multiple gas explosions and fires in Merrimack Valley, Massachusetts.
Oh, the other one is like Trump signs bill blocking Obama gun rule. Did you see that?
Yeah, I read that one.
It's like, yeah.
Only thing surprising about it is that it took him this long.
So mentally ill people are now allowed to buy guns again. Or that was the essential thing of the story. It's like, and we already have how many shootings going on?
Yep. Man, so on the fires thing, Andor officials said they struck 10 alarms, maximum fire response, and extinguished 38 fires across town. More than 50 fire vehicles and 10 ambulances responded. In Milton, said that 20 to 25... Joseph Solomon, the police chief in nearby Milton, said 20 to 25 homes were on fire in Lawrence. Solomon, who responded to Lawrence to help, said there were so many fires you can't even see the sky. And then, of course, 12 to 14 fires were reported in North Andover, which is another... It's like, Massachusetts State Police said they've confirmed responses to over 70 different addresses in three communities for fires, explosions, or investigations.
Yeah, they're saying if you smell even a hint of gas, get out.
That's really weird. Like, how did this even happen?
Well, do you have gas in your house, Fuzz, for anything?
I think we do.
Because we have gas here for our water heater. We could also we also can run it in our fireplace, and we have a hookup.
Oh, yeah, we have it in our fireplace. We might have it on the water heaters, I don't remember.
And our dryer. Well, we have a company called Atmos. And Atmos in town has been having a lot of problems with gas leaks because there's older lines and such, and they haven't been doing the maintenance that they should.
Mm.
So we're having problems here in Dallas with this gas company not doing the shit it's supposed to do. And, you know, we haven't been completely off the hook. We just haven't had fucking explosions.
Yeah.
There has been some fires from mishandled gas lines, but, you know, we're not scot-free here either. I think it's mostly been in, like, South Dallas and some of the older neighborhoods that have been really bad in.
You know, and this is one of those things where it's like a gas line that had become overpressurized, but I'm like, where along the chain did this... Where's the fuck up here?
As my dad said, some high exec, you need to get this done now, and then parentheses, or else I don't get my bonus. Later on, you did this wrong. Why did you do this? It's all your fault.
Yeah. Is it an electronic system? Is it a valve in a major station got left open? I mean, like, what level of fuckery this is? Is this a mechanical failure? Is this an electronic failure? Did they get hacked?
Human error.
I mean, is this a hacking thing where they got access to a infrastructure level thing and just turned up the pressure to see what would happen? You know, obviously there's like, you know, and state level and federal level and FBI are all looking at this, but it's really wild to see how much damage that overpressurizing a gas line.
Well, that's what they think. That might not be what it is, but yeah, that's what they're theorizing.
This is what's based on. Like, I'm like, is this like some crazy effective arsonist? No, it seems to be an infrastructure issue.
30 fucking homes gone, and however many more in danger.
So, guys, I have to say, it is we're past the hour 40 mark in the raw audio, so we're going to stop and wrap this up. Because it is also past 10 o'clock. It has been 2 weeks since you recorded, right? No. We recorded last week, Fuzz. What am I thinking?
God. I don't know. I was in Denver.
It's been 2 weeks since you were here, Shiva. So, anyways, let's wrap this shit up.
We didn't record the week of MFM, is what you're thinking. Yeah. She was in Colorado and I was at Memphis.
And last week we recorded because I did an episode. All right. Well, anyways, you guys can find us online. We're Southpaws on Twitter.
Southpaws Cast.
Southpaws Cast. We're on Twitter,
Patreon
Gmail.com,
Tumblr, You can find me at Savrin Drake on Twitter-ish. You can find me at Savrin at snouts.online on Mastodon. Find me at Savrin on Twitch.
You can find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf. I'm on Mastodon at Fuzzwolf at mastodon.social. Go to fuzzwolf.com for a lot of my other contact links and stuff like that. I'm brought to you by forplanet.com. So buy some books.
And I'm on both Telegram and Twitter as Chimera, K-H-Y-M-A-E-R-A. You can reach out to me there. That's the main place you'll find me these days.
Next month, first weekend of October, is Alamo City Furry Invasion down in San Antonio, Texas. I won't be there, but FurPlanet will be there dealing. Savrin is going down there with Ajax. And so
we will sell you books.
They will be selling books. Books and comics and art gallery magazines and all the usual fun stuff that we sell at cons. So, wrapping it up on that note, good night.
And big books.